You're listening to Inside Public Procurement by Bonfire, a show celebrating the unique stories and heroic efforts of those on the front lines of public procurement. Each episode, we bring you the latest trends, tips, and real stories from procurement trailblazers like you, who work tirelessly to bring positive impact to the agencies and communities you serve. Together, let's elevate the field of public procurement to new heights. Now, pull up a chair and let's gather around the bonfire. Our show is about to begin.
Hello and welcome to the Inside Public Procurement Podcast. My name is Rachel Friesen, and I am the Director of Client Experience at Bonfire, an e-procurement solution used by over 500 public agencies in North America. I'm joined today by Gary O. Chavez, Chief Procurement Officer with the State of New Mexico. Gary has been with the state for 17 years, with the last 10 years as the Bureau Chief, Chief Procurement Officer for the New Mexico Human Services Department. Prior to joining New Mexico Human Services Department, he was an IT business analyst slash executive procurement officer at the General Services Department slash State Purchasing Division, which included being the RFP trainer for the state of New Mexico. He is also proud to be part of the New Mexico EDGE instructional staff for certifications of chief procurement officers. His education and years of experience enable him to assist those in procurement to grow, to learn, and pass along knowledge to other procurement professionals. He currently is in his second year of being the president of the New Mexico Public Procurement Association, NIGP chapter. Prior to being elected president, he served as the vice president for 1 year. Thank you so much for joining me today, Gary.
Rachel, thank you for having me.
Oh, it's great. And I was going to say, before we get started, what are you most looking forward to this spring, summer? It's around the corner, finally.
Well, living here in New Mexico, in the upper higher desert, I guess, we look forward to better weather for better golfing. We do hope for the snow up in the mountains, so we do get runoff, and we are expecting more snow this week. But I'm looking forward to some nice New Mexico weather and some more opportunities to go out and golf.
That's perfect. I think as a Canadian hearing that in my head, I'm thinking, oh, isn't every month golf season month for New Mexico? But it's good to hear from a local. There is the key times of year where it's advantageous to get out there on the course. Uh-huh. Oh, that's great. Well, Gary, it's so varied for every single person I find of how they got into purchasing or procurement. It's rarely a very intentional path where that was their goal from the get-go. So are you able to share with myself and everyone how you ended up in procurement?
Well, I ended up in the procurement field in a roundabout way. 19 years ago, about 20 years ago, I always call this my second life because in a previous life, I was a school teacher and I was into education. And I was actually a education director at a correctional facility. And my wife got sick. She ended up contracting a disease called scleroderma, very rare disease. And so at the time, she tried to continue working. We tried doing life as normal. And it just got to the point where I decided to quit working, pull out the retirement that I had as a teacher and when I did work with the state previously. So I took out about 10 years of retirement just to stay home and take care of her. The disease took her life in about 16 months. She had a life expectancy of 10 years, but you know, it did take her life in 10 months. So after this happened, I kind of was wondering what to do again and go back into teaching. And a friend of mine who worked with the state of New Mexico called me up and said, hey, I have this position available. It's a startup position. It's low on the ladder, but you're getting in with the state. It's working with me and it's working in procurement. And I said, well, what is that? And he said, well, it's dealing with contracts and things like that. And I said, okay, yeah, I've done that before in my previous jobs, working in contracts. So I started working at the Department of Health as a purchasing agent, and I just got the bug from there. And since then, going on 17 years now that I've been with the state of New Mexico working in the procurement field.
Now, it's interesting, that sort of second chapter that led you to where you are now. I was wondering, actually, you mentioned the contracting skills carrying over. When you think back to your time in the teaching profession, is there any other skills or initiatives or whatnot that translated over and helped you in this new scope that you have or in purchasing?
Well, I think everything in my background from the educational field, and I used to be a coach also. I grew up wanting to be a teacher coach like the rest of my family. And I think the teaching environment kind of fit perfectly into the procurement world because now we do trainings and I treat it just like a regular classroom. So I do my classroom management with that. And it's our observation and the evaluation, reevaluation of how we do procurement fits perfectly well in the education field. So I kind of feel in a roundabout way, I was being mentored in a way to be a procurement person because these two positions go hand in hand.
Mm-hmm. No, that's interesting how that directly carried over. And then are you able to share a bit more about your current agency, the team and the focuses, anything you'd like to tell us?
Well, I am the Chief Procurement Officer for New Mexico Human Services. And we are one of the second largest agency in the state of New Mexico. And we are divisions that we serve our income support division. So the electronics benefit transfers, the EBT cards, that would come through us. We also handle the medical assistance division, our child support enforcement division, our information technology. So in a way, we're assisting our divisions who are in turn helping out the citizens of the state of New Mexico. So we're working on our Medicaid systems. We're working on the electronics benefit systems. Everything from our SNAP programs, everything on the federal level that is being filtered down to the state level, that is running through us. So we have our hands in every procurement that is involving every citizen of the state of New Mexico at every level. So, I mean, it's exciting to be involved in that, knowing that, you know, we're stewards of the taxpayers' money. So we're here to make sure that we're our taxpayers. So we're here to make sure that our funding, our general funding, and the funding that we're receiving from the federal side is being well spent. And we make sure that every risk is being eliminated. So In this field and working with human services, it's been very rewarding. I've been here for 10 years and every day it's a new adventure. So it's an exciting place. And especially now during the COVID situation and all the transitioning with everything, it's been very exciting here.
No, that's great. Such a broad scope. So I can see how, yeah, not even every day is different. Every year is different, to your
exactly.
point. So exactly. You get that constant variety and scope expansion. And then you mentioned risk. I actually wanted to fixate on that for a moment. So what approaches and tactics have you and your team taken that have prioritized risk elimination and transparency that you'd like to share, or you're proud of, or just you even want to share, you know what, we've evolved how we've done that. Our initial attempt wasn't as refined as it could have been.
Well, being with the I was at state purchasing prior to coming to human services, and I was the RFP trainer for the state of New Mexico while I was there. So one of the things that we always spoke about is eliminating the risk and transparency. That's the main thing that we like to discuss with the state of New Mexico, is we'll make sure we want to be transparent, treat our vendors equal and fair and competitive. What I transferred that over to human services to make sure that we communicate very well, to make sure that our knowledge is kept up on the New Mexico State Procurement Code, on the New Mexico Administrative Code, our Code of Ethics, the Attorney General's Code of Ethics. Procurement isn't reinventing the wheel. The wheel's already been invented. It's making sure that we have the knowledge of where to find that information. So we can't just say, oh, we can't do that. It's why we can't do that, and this is what we're basing our information off of. Yes, you're going to get different interpretations, but if you communicate well with your superiors, especially with your Office of General Counsel, you develop a working relationship to where that in turn eliminates risk, because there's no doubt involved when you're processing any of your procurements. So what we pass along to our staff, and our staff passes along to the different divisions when they're assisting in the procurements, is, look, we're here to help you, but our main goal, and this is what I really love to say to every new secretary that we receive that's going to head our department, said, look, my job is to keep you out of the newspaper. Please help me do my job. We want to stay out of the newspapers, out of the news. We want to make sure that any IPRA, any inspection of public record that's requested, we're providing, saying, look here, we have nothing to hide. This is how we run our procurements. We eliminate all risks. So it's a continuation of that ideal of, let's be open, let's be honest, let's make sure that we are communicating at the best level that we can.
Yeah, no, 100%. And you mentioned for those that are the new secretaries, I think was your example, but I might be fumbling on the title. Yes, okay.
That's great.
Getting a nod, everyone. And then on that note, if you can even think back to a former version of yourself when you were entering, because we do hear a lot of the time for those listening to the podcast that they're either transitioning into purchasing for the first time or from private to public. And you mentioned how the standards have already been set. It's just leveraging those to follow them. Like, how would you guide those individuals and how you would navigate resources or where to look if they're entering government purchasing, but with that prioritization of risk elimination too from the get-go?
Well, one of the main things I would look at, and I use myself as the example, because the reason I give so many trainings or open myself up to podcasts or any time that we can talk about procurement to our New Mexico Public Procurement Association, I will, because I tell people, look, somebody taught me. Somebody showed me where I could find the information. It's not knowing everything. You know, if you can quote out of the procurement code, you know, great for you. But the important part is where to find the information. No, we can't just jump off the handle and say, here's your answer. Sometimes you need the definition of where to find it. So it's knowing your resources. It's networking with other procurement people. Here in the state of New Mexico, we have the chief procurement certifications. And in our organization with NMPPA, New Mexico Public Procurement Association, the main thing we talk about is we're here to train, we're here to educate, but we're here to network with everyone. Because again, we're not reinventing the wheel. The wheel's already been invented. So tap into those resources. So new people, look into area organizations. Look into your national organization, NIGP, the Institute for Public Procurement Professionals. Look into these organizations and you are going to get so much help and so much training and so many people that are out there willing to say, yeah, here's what I did. This is what worked. This is what didn't work. But you know what? Sometimes you need to go out there and it's okay to fail, but it's in our field, you know, we don't call it failing. We call it learning. Okay. We're going to transition. We're going to reevaluate our situation and say, no, I could have done this better. So, you know, if you go to the website, the Institute for Public Procurement or NIGP, I mean, you have a wealth of knowledge that's already there readily for you and people there that are there to help you. You know, so the main thing I can really say about it is, network with people. I mean, if you're crazy enough to get in the field of procurement, then you need to know that you can network, because there's a lot of crazy people out here that are loving what we do. You know, one of the main things that I've always said that I say to my group and our members is, you know what, growing up, we all had a passion in something. We always wanted to be that professional baseball player or that teacher or that basketball player. You know what? But when you get older in life, sometimes that passion finds you. And, you know, you don't go to school for procurement. There's not a university except in Arizona where one of our directors will say, I went to school at the University of Arizona and studied procurement. I said, but here in New Mexico, mainly everywhere else, you can't go like in accounting for an accounting degree. So, you know, it's a passion that finds you. And if you embrace that, you're going to have a great career.
No, that's amazing advice. I absolutely love that. And I do want to ask you, and I think this fits now around your role and your involvement with the New Mexico Public Procurement Association. What is your role there and how did you get involved with that organization?
Well, I got involved in the very beginning because when I was in a purchasing agent, I had coworkers say, okay, well, you know, there's this organization called NMPPA. They help with training. They do this, they do that. You know, you should register for it. We'll pay for it. So I joined at that time, and throughout the years, said somebody helped me in the beginning. Well, this organization helped me in the beginning. It opened my eyes to there's a lot more out there than what we really think is. So I took advantage of joining this. And throughout the years, when I was at State Purchasing with General Services and I was the RFP trainer, they invited me to go and give presentations. So I was able to present to NMPPA. And after that, I decided, okay, I've done my part as a member, as a presenter. It was right around board election times. And I said, you know, I think would like to serve on the board. And I reached out to some of the board members and they suggest, oh, you should run for vice president. And I decided, okay, sure, I'll go and do that. and I won for vice president, and that was 3 years ago. So I was able to serve for a year. And after my first year, our president decided not to run for re-election, or she was unable to run for re-election. So the board members encouraged me and nominated me to run for president. And I thought it was a great honor. So I said, I accept, I'll go and run. And I was able to run against some very talented individuals that wanted to be president also that are still members for NMPPA. And I won, and I've served, this is my, I'm going into my second year of a 3 year term, and I'll decide next year if I'm going to run for the second term.
No, that's fantastic. I love too how you mentioned how you got involved in that ecosystem prior to being more intentionally involved as like the vice president. So you could really truly understand the, you know, ethos and the culture and all of that, which is phenomenal.
Right, that's exactly. Great.
So we actually are going to get into almost a bit of a pivot, a very tactical question in a way. And I was, you know, the framing of the question we often asked a year ago, maybe in the podcast, was in this new hybrid work reality, what's a resource, tool, channel that you believe people aren't correctly using or using to its fullest? I will acknowledge new is probably not the right verbiage anymore. Right. This is just the new norm, if anything. But yeah, what stands out to you that you'd want to share?
Well, you know, on this, what I'm going to say is through my experiences with the new transitioning with COVID and everything that's happened, because I'm not really sure if, you know, what people are using, if they're using it correctly or to its fullest extent. Everybody uses it to the belief in what they are comfortable with in the beginning. But for me in the state of New Mexico and for human services, some of the programs that we're using 3 years ago, before we were into the COVID or even knew what COVID was, we had, everything was a paper process. Everything was, we need to sign this. It needs to be ink on paper. And we always questioned, why can't we have a digital signature? Oh, no, it's against code, against code. Well, COVID hits, and now we're forced into the situation. And forcing us into the situation was a godsend, because now we found ways to utilize DocuSign for electronic processing for signatures. One of the other resources is Bonfire. With the state of New Mexico, if you have a general service contract, you process that through state purchasing. The agencies keep their hands off it. If it's professional services, then the agency processes it on their own and the signature contract is signed by another agency. So at that time, we were still receiving them as a hard copy. I got to know Bonfire. And they, a couple of gentlemen came in. Sorry, I forgot your name, guys. So don't send me nasty emails. But they came in. We sat and talked. Said, you know, this is a pretty good idea. I introduced it to my CFO. And this program made us 100% paperless. So now we're able to use Bonfire to receive our professional services RFP proposals electronically. Our evaluation committee can view them electronically from wherever they are. And vendors can submit them electronically. We can do our evaluation committee report off of this program. So now that the state of New Mexico for the last 2 years have been teleworking, it has made the adjustments so much easier to where it's helping us facilitate our proposals a lot easier. So with the transitioning of COVID and everything that's happened, we have turned ourselves into 100% paperless and able to use programs to benefit the state of New Mexico, which in turn benefits our citizens of the state of New Mexico. So I can justify saying, we are stewards of the taxpayers' money. This is what we're doing to help alleviate some issues on the paper side. So the resources, the tools that we have on hand have been a great benefit for the state of New Mexico. My staff and myself have been able to do our work teleworking from home and not skip a beat. And that is the promising part, because in the beginning, we're very worried about, you know, where we're going to lose papers, how are we going to do this, how are we going to do that. And in procurement, we're always looking at eliminating the risk. So when we brought these programs on board, it reassured us that everything's going to be okay.
No, that's great. There's a quote that I'm 100% going to botch and probably attribute wrongly, but it's something along the lines of, you know, years of progress can happen in a week. And COVID, it seems like it was a version of that for this sector. I'm curious, do you believe that? Do you think that it has changed sort of the mentality for those in procurement going forward?
Absolutely. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And for the better. Mm-hmm. It has enabled us to be able to work from home when bad weather days. Because, you know, those of you that don't know, I'm in Santa Fe, New Mexico. So my elevation here is about 6,500 feet. We have great ski resorts here in northern New Mexico. So we do get our fair share of snow. So when we do have a snow day, we're able to still do our work. It makes us a little bit more accountable also. We want to make sure that we are at home in front of our computers, that we're not missing the email. We're not missing a Teams call. Microsoft Teams is another example of a program that I'd love to give a shout out for, because that's where we have all of our team meetings now. We can call each other up and have our conversations if something comes up. We're available. The bad part is now we're available 24/7. So I'm getting the emails at 6 in the morning and 9 o'clock at night because no one's traveling anymore. Everyone's waking up saying, oh, I have a question. I just remembered. And they'll shoot an email. So there's pros and cons. Doesn't mean, and I tell myself, you know what? 8 o'clock, turn it on. 5 o'clock, turn it off. Family comes first. We have to remember that. Family comes first.
Yeah, exactly. You have to kind of impose those boundaries because the work will always be there
exactly.
at the end of the day. So.
Exactly.
We always like to close out with the specific question I'll get to in a moment. Although I would say that Gary has given a lot of advice throughout his answers today. But we, you know, I can't overstate enough. Thank you so much for taking this time with myself today, Gary. And I always want to ask too, what is the number one piece of advice that you give to people starting their career in public procurement?
You know, embrace the opportunity of being there. There's a lot of jobless people out there. Represent who you are. Always have pride in what you do because you are a reflection of your organization. And take pride in what you do. Embrace what you're in the field to do. You know, we're here to procure. We're here to get the services that are needed out there. We're here to make sure that we procure it correctly. Like I said earlier about, you know, our passion, you're going to find that you're going to be so involved in learning that you're going to find it that it becomes a passion for you. And you're going to want to continue to learn more. And believe me, there's plenty of resources out there. Again, NIGP, a great organization to reach out to be a member of, to get your certifications from. And they're always willing to help. Every procurement person that is in this field started from the very beginning, and we're still here. Some of us have wider hair, longer hair, and no hair. But you know what? It turns into a passion, and it is a great field to go into. You just have to give it a chance to grow on you. But use your resources and network. Get to know other procurement people.
Great advice. And on that theme of network, if anyone listening wants to get in contact with yourself, what's the best way to do so? Is it email, LinkedIn, or?
You can always email me at garyo.chavez@state.nm.us. That's my work email. I respond to all my emails as quickly as possible, as long as you don't ask any of the people that email me from work. But I'm always available to assist any procurement person from wherever you are. We're a big organization and we are here to help.
Amazing. Well, again, thank you so much for your time, Gary. I mean, honestly, any of the topics, I feel like we need to bring you back for an intentional networking conversation in itself. So thank you. Thank you again.
No problem. Thank you, Rachel, so much. I really appreciate the opportunity, and call upon me anytime.
Procurement professionals like you are the lifeblood of public sector organizations, dedicated not only to supporting your agency, but the constituents you serve. That's why we've created the Inside Public Procurement podcast here at Bonfire, a unique place where you can share stories and discuss the topics that matter to public procurement pros. From digitization and the future of public procurement to ensuring a fair and transparent process, we're all about finding new strategies to help your agency succeed. Join us at gobonfire.com to learn more. You've been listening to Inside Public Procurement by Bonfire. If you like what you've heard, make sure to subscribe so you never miss an episode. And if you have an idea for an episode or want to come on as a guest, email us at hello@gobonfire.com. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you next time.